Podcast number 8, March 31st, 2008. This is Sid Williams, president of Lysema Associates. We're pleased to welcome Greg Wallace to discuss his recent article, A Victory Worth Celebrating, which appears in the March issue of Perspectives, and also recent news stories in open source software. For those unfamiliar with Lysema, we develop and manage information networks that connect different stakeholders and topics of industry transition and execute this through small targeted forums. Among our clients, we count entrepreneurs, corporate executives, industry consultants, and institutional investors, all leaders in their respective business areas. Greg is a software entrepreneur and longtime member of the Lysema community. His experience includes global technology marketing, market and economic research, as well as corporate management. He is also a frequent contributor to the newsletter Perspectives and topics in software and IT services and trends in online consumer and enterprise behavior. Greg, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Sid. How's it going?
Very well. We've seen lots of news recently on software openness, both from Microsoft and Google, which you do comment on in your article. What's your thought on how these two rivals are positioning themselves?
So it's been a really interesting couple weeks since that article, and also since our last podcast where one of the things that you asked me about was, you know, how do I see the different industry players positioning themselves? And one of the things that I commented on as being a major difference between Google's stake in the market today or position in the market and Microsoft was around openness and lack of lock-in. And very interestingly, about a week ago, Microsoft announced that they were going to publish APIs to allow a whole bunch of social networks, Facebook among them, with a very easy way for Microsoft Live and MSN users to import and export their contact information, which is, you know, kind of specifically one of the things that I talked about in that podcast. So I'm still waiting for my little consulting check from Microsoft. I guess I won't hold my breath. But that's the kind of thing that they need to do. It's really in their DNA almost to always look for ways to integrate so that if they achieve success in a particular line of business, to look for ways to leverage that success to then extend into adjacent markets. And, you know, oftentimes they do that through, by being closed and by being proprietary and by not opening up their protocols so that other vendors can have the same access to all of that information, like users and contact information that Microsoft has. And I think this is largely because of Ray Ozzie's influence in the company, really starting to, who's now I think their CTO or chief software architect or something like that, really starting to see that users want freedom and interoperability. So, I think it's yet another really positive step. I think Microsoft is doing a lot of the right things. Yahoo and Google aren't standing still either. It's hard to tell. I mean, this whole sort of Microsoft unsolicited bid for Yahoo seems to be overshadowing everything else that Yahoo does, which is kind of unfortunate in a way, because I think Yahoo is doing some really cool things. Like, for example, they announced that they're joining, and with them and with Yahoo, Google, and MySpace are launching the Open Social Foundation, which is a really big deal. I mean, basically, and again, I think this is sort of, if you look at it from a cultural perspective, where Microsoft is really coming at the industry from a very closed, proprietary, kind of a lock-in sort of approach, although they are making great strides, and I'm pretty impressed. Google's coming at it from the opposite direction, right? They're coming at it from very much an open perspective, and this Open Social Foundation is yet another indication of that. Now, why this is significant is because, Open Social said, hey, look, guys, there's all these social network platforms out here, each of which is trying to have its own way for developers to add software onto these social networking platforms. This is stupid. This is going to be a total pain in the butt for developers because they're going to have to learn how to write to all of these different platforms. So let's create a common way to do this. Very interestingly, Facebook says, "No thanks. I'll stay out of that. I'm very happy with my own 300,000 developers that are writing applications for Facebook, and so I'll let you other guys work together." I think it's probably just a matter of time before they ultimately figure out some way to work with the open social. But so that's what it is from a technology perspective. But what's important and interesting about the foundation is Google is saying, "Hey, look, we wanted this to happen. We put the resources into making it happen and into recruiting industry participants and other lots of community participants and developers. But now we're stepping back, right? This thing is not going to be controlled by Google. This is going to be an independent entity with its own intellectual property, et cetera." That's huge. I mean, not a lot of companies are that strongly behind the notion of interoperability and working together. I mean, even IBM, one of the gripes that's been levied at the Eclipse Foundation, which is widely viewed as one of the most successful open source communities and projects, has been that IBM has retained too much control over the commit status and things like that, who can commit code and so forth. Although they're starting to step back from that, but a scant 7 months or 8 months after making the announcement of the open social API, Google is really putting their money where their mouth is and going into the community. And I think it's very bold that Yahoo is joining and making this kind of an effort. Although, like I say, everything's colored by this whole Microsoft play for Yahoo, and it's hard to tell, how much of that is driven by Yahoo's desire to kind of cozy up to Google in order to fend off Microsoft versus, just a real business strategy.
Do you think Google is actually pushing the bar forward and Microsoft is just playing catch up?
I do think Microsoft is a little late to the game in terms of embracing openness. But I was just meeting with somebody earlier today, and the way they put it was, Microsoft swings a big bat, and I think, it's a way to say it, and I think that they're right. They've got a lot of resources, so you can't count them out by any means. But I do think that, interestingly, and maybe we'll get to this later on, one of the other things that we've discussed is, this whole question of brand, right? And how important is it when, once the game is about recruiting third parties who are basically unaffiliated with you and getting them to be part of your ecosystem and build to your platforms and so forth, brand becomes really important because at the end of the day, people want to participate in communities, and that's what these are, developer communities, that where there's a level of trust. And it was a comment that I read and that I included in that article that, at the end of the day, what Google has over Microsoft right now is a level of trust. And there was some recent research that came out. It didn't talk about Google per se, but it talked about Apple, and it compared the brand impact. And it was a little bit weird what they asked, but they sort of asked people which brand has the biggest impact in your life. And it was on consumers, but at the end of the day, we're all consumers. So I still think it's relevant, even though we're talking more about developers here. But and Apple just did great, right? Everybody loves Apple. Everybody thinks of Apple as being very innovative and really delivering the products that are meaningful in their lives. Whereas, you know, Microsoft was sort of right down there with the United States in terms of, you know, the way the rest of the world perceives the United States as in need and in, you know, perhaps very desperate need of some sort of a makeover. You know, Microsoft just, I think, you know, that's their biggest challenge. If you had to ask me, I mean, there's so many of them out there right now, but the biggest one is once you've committed yourself to openness, then it's about brand. It's about, do people like you? Do they trust you? Do they want to be part of your community? Do they think you're going to do right by them? And, you know, it's going to take Microsoft a little while. So certainly I think, you know, they're making a lot of the right moves in the right directions, and I applaud them for that, but it's not going to happen overnight, that's for sure.
Would you argue that this brand deficiency that you're talking about is one reason why Microsoft might have to pay a higher price for Yahoo?
Yeah, I think you could say that. You know, I thought it was interesting. An analyst at Citigroup came out and said, "Yeah, you know, I think it's really likely at this stage of the game that Microsoft's going to up their price." And yeah, I do. There was a sort of related announcement this week that Yahoo was handing out really rich kinds of stock option grants to what they called, you know, quote unquote, rock stars. So these were not necessarily like senior level people. These were, you know, more or less rank and file, but really solid, high contributor types of people. And they were giving them these fast maturing stock option awards to keep them on board. And I think that speaks to one of the things that we've talked about on the Lyceum forums, you know, over and over again, which is that there is a perception out there that a lot of the talent at Yahoo, which, you know, Microsoft has explicitly come out and said, I think it was actually Gates himself that said, that's the reason we need them and want them is because of the people. They're brilliant. They know the internet better than anybody. You know, we'll just be a total powerhouse if we can get that talent. But if Jerry really, you know, digs in his heels and sort of says, you know, you're undervaluing us and, you know, this isn't a good deal, then I think that mentality is going to filter down. And, you know, if it gets ugly, right, and Microsoft has to go to some sort of a proxy battle or something like that, then Microsoft isn't going to get that which they set out to get, which is the talent, because everyone will leave. So I think the only way that Microsoft can get what it is that they set out to get, which is the people, is if they make an offer to Jerry that he is comfortable with, right? Because if he, you know, he's got to embrace it. He's got to say, this is a good deal. This is a good deal for Yahoo, for our people. This values us correctly. Because if he, you know, short of that, I think there'll be an exodus, and it wouldn't be the success that Microsoft needs it to be.
As a final thought, let's think about economic conditions. They mm-hmm. seem to be worsening, and everyone is bringing their spending levels down. What does this mean specifically in terms of IT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been thinking for a long time that this is going to be actually something that will benefit open source. And I'm starting to read a lot of people now saying that. You know, it was actually one of the commentaries that I saw about Red Hat's really good quarter that they put in was that, you know, as people, as IT shops start to tighten their belts a little bit, but the demands on them aren't changing. You know, the business units are still demanding that IT deliver lots of agility, lots of availability, lots of new applications. So something's got to give, and I think that what's going to give are a lot of the high-priced proprietary applications. People are going to start to look more closely at how to save money, and open source has been a way to do that. You know, all the proprietary guys will say, oh, but you know, the support costs are higher or the maintenance costs are higher, and that argument was true probably 3 or 4 years ago, but it isn't true today. There is plenty of top-notch support out there for all of the popular open source applications. And you can go down the line and the list keeps growing. And there's been actually quite a few things written lately. eWeek did an article that was from actually just the 25th of March talking about how the weakening economy was good for open source. It was actually a panel discussion. IDC's, which is the Framingham Mass-based analyst firm, one of their top analysts came out saying that in the systems management market, the tightening budgets are going to be a boon for open source because of the relatively low cost nature of the solution. So from where I sit, I think as an open source fan, I think this is going to be a good time for open source. I think it's going to be a counter-cyclical kind of thing. I'm of course, the other side of me is really hoping that this thing doesn't get as bad as some people are thinking it will. But I think just the fear of recession is causing people to relook at where they spend their money and on the IT side. And I think that's just going to be a good thing for open source, because when that's front and center as one of the top criteria, open source typically does really well.
In addition to Red Hat, are there other companies we should be thinking about that would benefit from this?
Well, clearly Novell is another one. The other guys that have significant exposure and plays on the open source side would be IBM. I would think that the systems integrators that have embraced open source, I mean, IBM is again in that category. Unisys would be in that category. I think that this would be a good time for them. You know, it's unfortunately, there just aren't a lot of publicly traded open source companies. You've got Novell, you've got Red Hat, you've got, you know, to a lesser degree, IBM and Unisys and companies like HP. Hopefully this is going to change. I mean, Sugar CRM, which is a VC-backed open source consumer relationship management software provider, is, the word is that they're sort of IPO track. Everybody thought that was going to be the case. Oh, I should say Sun. I'm sorry. I left Sun out there. I would definitely put Sun in that category. Because, you know, and what made me think of that was because everybody thought MySQL was going to be the first, or the next open source IPO, but Sun picked them up, and I would say this is gonna be a good thing for Sun. I would definitely take another look at that stock and see, and look at my model and see if I could, you know, figure out what the upside potential is if a significant number of customers start to rethink their, you know, usage of, say, proprietary databases and other, other areas where Sun is, you know, very aggressively going after kind of incumbent proprietary solutions.
Greg, those are some great thoughts. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sid. Always nice talking to you.
Read our newsletter for comments by Greg and others. In addition to his thoughts, the March issue features articles on financial guarantee, market performance during a recession, and also a description of new publications, the Financial Statistics Handbook, and the 2005, 2006, and 2007 yearbooks. For information about Lyceum, please visit us at www.lyceumassociates.com. I'm Sid Williams.